Well, good morning, everybody. We are GFBS. We're Grand Forks' best source. And back after a couple of weeks away from the studio from the Midwest Public Health Coalition, David Waterman is in the studio, along with Dan Stanislawski. Who can we trust? Who do we believe anymore? Show today brought to you by Nate's Electric. You know what's happened again? You've made the electrically fatal mistake of operating your toaster and microwave at the same time. Oh yeah, you trip the breaker once again and plunge in your kitchen into darkness. Well, now you have to drag yourself downstairs. You got to reset the breaker. Then you got to carry yourself back upstairs to a lighted kitchen and cold breakfast. Surely there's something to be done about this problem. There is. Call Nate's Electric. They do residential and commercial work, automation design, grain storage and drying, lighting, maintenance, new construction, remodeling, repair, trenching, wiring, and rewiring. Nate is amazing with all of this stuff and his crew. You know what? Don't short yourself. Call Nate's Electric, 218-779-3672. Well, if you have any questions or comments for any of the panel here today, make sure you give us a call or a text. Our number is 701-213-0863. 701-213-0863. And before we get rolling too far into the show, let's do our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. You know, yesterday my wife called me immature. Yeah, my wife called me immature. So I had no choice but to kick her out of my pillow fort. All right, Paul, let's hear it.
It's an awesome fort.
I know. They just don't get it. Luckily, she hasn't seen the one I got out in the woods yet. There we go. David Waterman, good to have you back, man. How are you?
Thank you, sir. It's been. Can I answer that honestly?
Mm-hmm. You can.
I was sick last week.
You were. I was actually very shocked when I heard you were sick. I didn't think you ever got sick.
I don't. But I actually went to a gathering on Saturday and was surrounded by, I think, people that actually had taken the COVID vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And I got COVID.
And you got it.
I got it.
You got the vid.
I got it. Yeah. I was Monday. I wasn't feeling right. By Monday night, I had chills and, I mean, pretty serious chills and the shakes and the fever. Went to bed and woke up Tuesday morning, was really sick.
Mm-hmm.
I was really sick for about an hour or two. By the afternoon, I was doing better. But yeah, it was a nasty deal.
Was it any worse than like a flu or a cold or yes or no?
For about an hour, mm-hmm. It was really. I was concerned. I'll put it that way. I was alarmed. But yeah, I won't go into the details, but some stuff happened. Then I then felt a little bit better. And then it's,
mm-hmm. What did you do for treatment?
That's a good question. Hydroxychloroquine and zinc and it wasn't zithromycin because I'm allergic to that, but I had another antibiotic that I mm-hmm. took along with that, and boom, along with good vitamins D3 and the other stuff.
Well, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you, sir.
And you look good.
Thank you.
You look well.
I feel great, actually. So, yeah, so it was a week-long thing, and I think it's funny because for a year I've been around people, walking around and meeting people and doing stuff, and so I got home, and so when I got sick, my wife said, I wonder if you got this from somebody who got the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
We put in air quotes because it's really not a vaccine. But I think that she's right. And now it turns out, and I didn't even know this wasn't going on at the time, but now a lot of people are putting on social media posts that they're getting COVID from people who got shot.
Hearing more and more about it all the time.
So including even women who were having miscarriages from being around other women who had the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a scary thing, isn't it?
Sure, sure. You brought a friend. We should probably talk to him for a minute here.
I should.
Dan Stanislawski, Dr. Dan. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I am a Grand Forks native. This is my home. I love this place. I've worked a lot of odd jobs where I would be listening to the radio. So I've listened to John Roberts for many years on many stations. So it's an honor.
Now you're aging me.
Yeah. But so I'm a Grand Forks native. I went to school here, graduated from Red River. And I also went through the University of North Dakota and then completed my PhD in biochemistry and molecular biology at UND rather recently, actually. In 2019 is when I finished it. And then I was going to start my first postdoctoral job, which started March of 2020. And so in between my graduation and the start of this job is when the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. And so I was reading all the literature on it and, you know, coming to my own conclusions using my own brain and not just repeating what was happening on television. And things quickly spiraled out of control. So, I the first issue that was really germane to me in my life was the masking thing. And it was kind of shocking to see all my colleagues just without exception, fall to the propaganda that masks work, and without even looking, without questioning. And so I wrote a paper where it had a large documentation of evidence how masks don't work and they cannot work, actually. And so I got, in some hot water for that at work.
Oh, I would imagine.
And so since then, it's been, more looking into the literature. And since then, I actually am now able, I'm free to come on shows like this without a threat of being fired. So here I am, and I'm hoping to share some science on the vaccine, in particular, the spike protein.
And that's just another great example of if you don't drink the Kool-Aid, if you don't do what everybody's telling you to do, well, then you got a fear for your job. You got a fear for everything. Yeah. What's going to be the outcome of it? And it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I was particularly scandalized by that because, that's a very anti-scientific intellectual approach to things because, and part of being scientific is that you're skeptical of things and you need to investigate and prove things to yourself and look for other evidence. And not only that, these things should be debated in public and there shouldn't be censorship of these ideas going on. That was the one thing that really surprised me in particular.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, right? Okay. Like across the country, people say, "Okay, I'll do whatever you tell me," and they don't bother to think for themselves. And that's one of them. That's actually one of the things that Midwest Public Health Coalition is having to deal with. We're having to struggle with people who don't want to think for themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hear the truth. I mean, and I would say that your audience is kind of an exception to that rule. There's a minority of people who really want to know the truth and they want to think for themselves. And based on some of the comments and the texts that people have made during the show, I think that a lot of those folks listen to GFBS.
And here's the thing, too. All the people are following now. It's like the Pied Piper. Everybody's following. Okay, this is what they say is right. This is what they say is wrong. Not only the pandemic, but that's going to lead to other things. Pretty soon, the people that are above us in our almighty government are going to be just basically telling us what we need to do, and everybody's going to follow. I mean, it just leads to worse things.
And the problem is, John, that most folks in this area have never gone outside the United States. Mm-hmm. Most of the general public has never left the borders of this country. For those of us who have, tyranny and oppression and cruel government abuse of its citizens is not just a theory. When you leave and you go to other countries and you see what actually happens there and you hear the stories from real people who've had their lives devastated by that kind of tyrannical rule, it takes on a whole new meaning. It's not just a textbook thing anymore. And so one of the problems is that unless you've actually experienced it, you can't really recognize that it could really happen here. Mm-hmm. That's something that happens in other places. That's something that you read about, but that's not reality for us.
Right.
But my friends, I'm telling you, that will very soon be reality for us if we let it.
Yeah. Right. Beth, by the way, says people have been accepting what doesn't make sense without asking questions. And she says, always ask questions.
Absolutely.
That That's all you got to do. Quit listening to what people are trying to force down your throat. It takes maybe 10, 15 minutes worth of research to start finding out a little bit about this, in which will probably, you'll delve into more of it because you're going to start to go, oh, wow, this isn't what they're telling me.
Right.
You know, this isn't what I'm hearing on all of the major news networks and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And so there's a problem because as Dan, and because we had this discussion many times, when you do that, when you know the truth, once you're informed about what's really going on and it's not what they're telling you, mm-hmm. that puts you in a different category, right? And so now you've got a decision to make. Are you going to keep what you know to yourself and go along with the flow? Because we all want to, I can't think of anybody that I know who says, you know, one of my goals in life is to be rejected by a society mm-hmm. and to live as a hermit all on my own and have people think that I'm a nut. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody who thinks that way. All of us like acceptance of our peers. We like to fit into society.
Sure.
And we want to be considered as normal, right? Which is why we all do the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have an existential threat, which not COVID-19 is, but the response to COVID-19 is an existential threat to our liberties and our way of life in America, something that no one in America has ever experienced before, you've got to make a very hard decision. Am I going to continue to just, you know, watch TV and watch football, go fishing and pretend like life is normal? Or am I going to recognize and actually evaluate how serious this threat is and then do something about it if necessary?
And to Beth's point, I asked people not to trust me. Don't trust me. I'm going to provide you information, and I want people to go out and look for themselves
mm-hmm.
and use their God-given talents to and analyze what I am saying here. And I'll show you the literature I'll read. I'm not going to, none of this stuff that I'm going to read is my opinion, but that skill is becoming extreme importance for survival now. I mean, it used to be that the battlefield was mostly for your mind,
mm-hmm.
but now, in my opinion, with these shots, it's becoming more of a physical attack on your person. And so you need to be able to evaluate information that you're given and quit trusting your doctor, quit trusting what you're seeing on the TV, and prove it to yourself.
Mm-hmm. You know, Marie makes a good point here. What is so mind-blowing to me is how many healthcare workers are also going along with it, knowing that in medical school, that was not taught to you. You go through all this training, you spend all this money to be a doctor or a nurse or whatever in the field of medicine, and now you're going against what you were taught. And it is, like she said, mind-blowing. Now, through April 26th, 3,848 deaths from the vaccine. That's the latest number. That's 0.0017%, but it's not safe. I mean, there's all kinds of side effects. I've got a list of a bunch of side effects here, but why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've got there and what you want to talk about?
So today I'm going to talk about some literature on the spike protein. So what these vaccines, and again, I say vaccine, I try to not use that word, because mm-hmm. even Moderna has admitted that this is a gene therapy.
Yes.
Right? This is a gene therapy. In order to qualify as a vaccine, you have to be injecting, first of all, parts of the virus. These are not parts of the virus they're injecting. They're synthetic pieces of mRNA mm-hmm. that they created in their lab. And then second of all, you have to be producing immunity, and you have to be stopping transmission, none of which is happening with these shots. But what is happening with these shots is that the mRNA that they're putting into your body is using your cell's machinery to produce the spike protein. Now, the spike protein from the COVID-19 virus is how it enters your cell.
Okay.
So, and there's a lot of literature, as I will present later on, about what this spike protein by itself can do to your body, and I hope it will be eye-opening for some.
There, just going to get you a little closer there. Sorry about that, Dan.
No problem.
Attack of the microphones.
You can adjust it this way, too, if you want to.
Yeah, there you go.
Gotta eat this thing, huh?
Maxed out.
I almost have to eat it.
Perfect.
Well, especially when he shoves it down your face.
Yeah.
That's what we have the pads on the mic for.
So, yeah. Yeah, you think they're windscreens. They're really...
They call them pop filter for a reason.
Yeah, right. Stop you from getting popped in the mouth.
Maybe I was stepping out of line, you know. Right. Be back in place.
What you're talking about there too is it's really interesting, and I know we're going to get into this. I don't want to jump ahead of the gun, but when Dr. Jean Golix was on here that day, she was actually coming from, because they were out at Central High School starting to give the vaccine to anybody with parental consent over 16 years old. Mm-hmm. I was like, what sense does that make? Because the kids aren't really getting sick from it anyway. So right. Why would you even take that health risk is kind of what blew my mind.
They don't get it. And transmission is incredibly low
in that
age group.
Yes.
Right. So they're not spreading it. They're not getting it.
Right.
So why are we giving them a shot? Why are we giving them an experimental gene therapy? Mm-hmm. That's really and Dan is really he feels really strongly about making that point that we have to call it for what it is. It's not a vaccine. It's an experimental gene therapy. Why would a superintendent of schools set up a program to bring in an experimental gene therapy for public school students? Mm-hmm. I asked that question. I'd love an answer. So if Dr. Brenner is listening to this podcast or watching, I would love to have an answer, sir. Please tell me, why did you bring an experimental gene therapy into the Grand Forks Public Schools and then pretend like it's something that it's not?
Right. And even according to the Center for Disease Control, this is their quote, they're keeping close eye on things. Still don't know if vaccinated people can transmit the virus or not. So they don't even really know about this so-called vaccine.
And really quickly, too, the one thing that, you know, obviously I've said it over and over again on this show, but taking the damn masks off of our children in elementary school and stuff. And I just read that, I think it was like Vail, Arizona. They fired the entire school board and rehired every single person,
right.
And then they got rid of them.
Yes,
so I think that needs to be done around here too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a great event.
That'd be a good start.
That was a great event. I don't know what happened, but what happened was there were several hundred parents who were who were showing up at the school board meeting to demand that they remove these stupid diapers off their kids' faces, mm-hmm. so they can breathe and be normal kids again. And when the school board found out that was happening, they all just hightailed it out of there. They demonstrated that they were the cowards that they are. Mm-hmm. And so once they were gone, using Robert's Rules of Order, the people that were there said, hey, you know what? They abandoned their post. They obviously have quit because they had a meeting scheduled today. Nobody canceled the meeting. They've all obviously quit. So they nominated and elected new school board members on the spot and then got right to business. And they said, we're going to vote on whether or not to keep these masks, and they all voted. They did the whole thing in like 7 minutes.
Yeah. Why couldn't it be that easy to do it to a governor like of Minnesota? You know,
North Dakota too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But Minnesota is oh man. You know, I want to talk to if you do get the vaccine, and they act like this is no big deal. But when you look at some of the side effects, for one, people that I have talked to, I know one person that said they didn't know if they were alive for 2 days. Mm-hmm. I talked to another person who basically grew a breast out of the side of his chest. I know somebody else that said it was like they gave him COVID. He got so sick for 2 days. Mm-hmm. And then when you look what the CDC says, the side effects, swelling, redness, and pain at the injection site, fever, headache, tiredness, muscle pain, chills, nausea, they're all just common. Mm-hmm. I also heard a lot of people after the first round of the COVID shots, if they had to get a second, according to nurses, a lot of them said these people will not come back for that second dose after what they went through. And I haven't even talked to anybody yet that had the side effects from the first dose. It was the second dose. And of course, we know it leads to death. Mm-hmm. It does. It does kill people.
It does. Clearly. So the experimental gene therapy is apparently causing these reactions in people that are harmful, and yet people continue to take it. They continue to say, yeah, sign me up for the gene therapy. I wonder if we, you know, words have meanings, and I wonder if they posted signs that said, experimental gene therapy injections available here. Mm-hmm. How many people do you think would sign up for that?
It's a good question. If the TV told them, probably about the same amount.
Yeah, right.
Would be my guess.
So since you mentioned it, John, here's a description of COVID-19. This is from the fact sheet that's given to healthcare providers that are administering the gene therapy for the Pfizer-BioNTech injection, okay? This is from this is their fact sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Description of COVID-19. Coronavirus disease 2019 is an infectious disease caused by novel coronavirus, blah, 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 blah. Symptoms may include fever or chills, cough, shortness of breath, fatigue, muscle or body aches, headache, new loss of taste or smell, sore throat, congestion, or runny nose, nausea, or vomiting, and diarrhea. Okay, those are the symptoms of COVID-19. Here are the... hold on. Here we go. These are the common adverse reactions from the injection. Fatigue, headache, muscle pain, chills, joint pain, fever, injection site swelling and redness, nausea, malaise, diarrhea. Oh, more adverse reactions. Diarrhea, vomiting, and other hypersensitive reactions. Doesn't that sound an awful lot like the same symptoms that you get when you have COVID-19?
Well, it doesn't make me want to sign up for a shot, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, if they're not telling you about the VAERS numbers and these side effects and the numbers of adverse side effects that are being reported,
mm-hmm.
they're not giving you informed consent, ladies and gentlemen. Like, we need to be aware of that because you should have that information before you put these things in your
body. Absolutely.
And informed consent is required. One of the things in the fact sheet for the Pfizer, which is the one that they're using in Grand Forks, do not administer Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine to individuals with known history of severe allergic reaction, also known as anaphylaxis, to any component of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccine. Any component. So if they're not providing a list of all the components to this gene therapy, to the people that are taking them, then they have not fulfilled their obligation.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter because... Why do you keep turning me off?
Because you've got the mics turned up so loud, we're getting feedback. Okay, what?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were getting feedback.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I mean, they don't have to do that because they're not liable for anything.
Right.
Correct.
They made that very clear.
So it's literally, I mean, let's say that there's a nefarious individual at one of these manufacturing companies, one of these pharmaceutical companies, who wanted to, you know, there are such a thing as serial killers. There are such a thing as people that actually want to cause the death of other human beings. As difficult as it is for us to wrap our minds around that, but they exist. But if a person wanted to do that, if a person wanted to, say, under the guise of depopulating the earth for the benefit of all mankind, and they intentionally put toxins or manipulated the mRNA that's going to go into your body so that it would eventually kill you, if not immediately, at some point down the line, then what we've got right now in place is for these companies. It's literally because you can't be tried, you can't be accused. Mm-hmm. They have complete immunity, right, from prosecution. Mm-hmm. It's like we've given them a license to kill.
And you know what? We are probably going off some skewed numbers because Beth makes a good point. They don't even need to know that only about 10% of adverse events is reported to their system. So a lot of people that are going through these side effects, possibly people passing away or dying from the vaccine. A lot of these people, they don't even report it. They don't say anything. They don't think it's worth the time and the effort, but it is because it will be reported. It will be put on a death certificate, but you have to say something.
Absolutely. I think most doctors are unaware of VAERS as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a Harvard study that came out about the massive underreporting that occurs with VAERS, and they found that less than 1% of adverse reactions are reported. Now, I would argue, I'd probably definitely agree with Beth more, because these vaccine or injections, excuse me, once again, these injections are definitely under a more of a microscope. So 10% sounds reasonable, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
It's vitally important that this information gets out there.
But it's true that Harvard study ran from 2007 to 2010. And they found that it was less than 1% reporting.
Yep. To VAERS. And over the last 3 months, they've had more reports to VAERS than they have in the last 10 years. So, yeah, this is a nasty one. And truly, we don't know. No one on planet Earth knows the extent of what this is going to do to mm-hmm. us, because the clinical trials are still ongoing. You can find all of them at clinicaltrials.gov. You can find them. They're still ongoing. And actually, I know the Moderna trial, too. People have unblinded themselves from the placebo group, and because they were so afraid that they wanted the shot. Mm-hmm. So the trials are iffy and ongoing, and they certainly aren't going to be, you know, 6, 7, 8 months down the road, let alone years down the road. So no one on planet Earth knows exactly what these things are going to be doing to the human body.
All right, we have got David Waterman from the Midwest Public Health Coalition along with Dr. Dan Stanislawski, and we're going to talk more with these guys in just a couple of minutes. But first off, do you sleep at night, lose sleep at night, if you know, maybe wondering that your loved ones will be able to look after themselves after you have passed? Well, Handy Law Group can assist in making sure your estate is settled according to your wishes. They can help with wills, trusts, probate, power of attorney, all kinds of things. You know what? You can rest easy knowing your loved ones will be taken care of and their inheritance protected. Handy Law Group can help with criminal and family law cases, adoptions, probate and business law, and more. You know what? Put over 20 years of legal experience to work for you today. Call to set up your initial estate probate consultation. That's 701-780-1286, 701-780-1286. Handy Law Group, serving Eastern North Dakota and Western Minnesota. And we are back again with David Waterman and Dan Stanislawski. Paul, the producer, sitting in. What's up, man?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, the Handy Law Group, I would definitely recommend going and talking to them about a will before you go and get your vaccine shot.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's
pretty, a great segue. Pretty, way to go.
Pretty good timing there. For sure. You know, we talked about VAERS. According to this document, the fact sheet for healthcare providers who are administering the vaccine, they should all have to read this, right? Every healthcare, anybody that's giving an injection of this gene therapy should read this. Mm-hmm. And it says, the vaccination provider is responsible for mandatory reporting of the following to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, right? VAERS.
Yep.
Here's what they're responsible for. Mandatory. This is mandatory. Vaccine administration errors, whether or not associated with an adverse event. Serious adverse events, irrespective of attribution to vaccination. Cases of multisystem inflammatory syndrome, MIS, in adults and children. And cases of COVID-19 that result in hospitalization or death. So the question was raised, I think, at the beginning of the show, John. Is it possible that you could get COVID from the vaccine? And what nation in the world has had a greater success rate at convincing their population to take this experimental gene therapy than anyone else? There is one nation that leads the way for the rest of the world. Who is it?
I know the answer. Can I say?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Israel.
It is Israel. Oh, thank
okay.
you. Yes,
I never would have thought of that.
I think that Israel, in fact, Prime Minister Netanyahu said a month or so ago, he said he wants Israel to get a reputation in the world as the vaccination nation. So I think that they're close to 90% in terms of injecting the people. So here's an interesting statistic. Fully 60% of the hospitalizations with COVID have been fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
60% of the Israelis who were being hospitalized with COVID-19 have had I'm not sure which shot they're taking. Is it the?
I think they're taking Pfizer.
Pfizer. Okay. So they've had both injections of the gene therapy. 60% of the hospitalizations have had that already. Mm-hmm. So folks, if you think that you're going to go and take this shot in your arm and then take another one 28 days later, and now you won't have to worry about getting COVID, you're gravely mistaken.
Right. And if I do remember right now, Israel, aren't they the ones that gave Fauci $1 million for all his COVID vaccine efforts or his COVID-19 efforts?
That so he's making seems ring a bell, but yeah, I'm not recalling exactly. Yeah.
You know, I do want to bring this up from Aaron. Dan, it says, talk about the spike protein. That's the part of the virus that causes problems. But now we're turning people's cells into spike protein manufacturing plants. What do you think about that?
I think it's dangerous. I think it's untested. Well, we know for sure it's untested in humans.
But it's true, right? That's what it does.
So that is exactly what's happening.
Yeah, correct. So Dr. Stanislawski, could you just explain basically what the idea is behind the injection, what it's supposed to do, and what it actually does.
Sure. So within this injection is mRNA, and the mRNA is encapsulated in what's called a lipid nanoparticle, and it is a polyethylene glycol lipid nanoparticle, for the record. But that what's happening is that that lipid nanoparticle actually helps usher the mRNA into your own cells. And it will be, you know, once these lipid nanoparticles get into the blood, it'll be kind of random where they go into your body. But, you know, endothelial cells that surround your blood vessels is a very high likelihood that it's you're going to get some that ends up there, which can cause clotting. We'll get there. But what's happening is once this mRNA gets into your cell, that your cell's machinery can actually take that mRNA and turn it into the protein. And that mRNA is telling your cells to make the spike protein itself. So that's what this thing does.
Okay.
So the mRNA is like an instruction for the cells and what they're supposed to do.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
So it tells your cells in your body to start producing the COVID-19, the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein.
Right.
Yep. Right. So and that's what it does. That's the design. That's the idea. That's mm-hmm. not an accident. It's supposed to do that, right?
It's intentional. And it's also not just the mRNA vaccines. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine, as well as the AstraZeneca vaccine, they have a slightly different mechanism where they actually have their DNA vaccines, quote unquote, is that they actually have a viral shell that surrounds the DNA that actually takes this DNA into your cell, and not only into your cell, but it brings it to the nucleus of your cell as well, where it puts the DNA into the nucleus, right? But the same end result is happening in that the spike protein is being produced by your own cells. And so that kind of leads to the question of, well, what does the spike protein do? Is the spike protein dangerous? And that's what the literature I brought with me today mm-hmm. is to kind of ask that question. And is there any literature out there from people, especially unbiased people who have no skin in the game?
Sure.
They're just trying to get science out there about, hey, the spike protein does this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
so just if I could, just to bring clarity, because I think that there's still a certain level of confusion about what is a vaccine versus what is experimental gene therapy. So Dr. Stanislavski, please correct me if I'm wrong. With a true vaccine, the concept is that you inject a certain amount of weakened or dead pathogen into the person who's getting vaccinated, with the idea being that, along with adjuvants, which are toxins, so that your body's immune system, your natural immune system, will see that pathogen, and because of the added adjuvants, the toxins, that it will create a response to it. It will fight against it and develop an immune response to any other toxins that are like that, any other pathogens, viruses, bacteria, so that it'll keep your body healthy and safe.
That's right.
That correct? Yep. Okay. But this particular injection doesn't work that way, right? This one actually causes your body to produce
right.
the foreign matter, the pathogen, the pathogenic product itself.
Yes.
So your body is now making the viral components.
Right. And then as far as I can tell, there are no studies on how much is being made or how long the production is going to be going on for. So theoretically, if some of these side effects could be lasting for weeks, months, mm-hmm. potentially years, if something so toxic as the spike protein, mm-hmm. as we'll find out, it is actually a toxic molecule, is being produced by your own body chronically.
Have you heard of, what is it, functional neurological conversion disorder?
I have not heard of that, no.
Okay, somebody was, Marie says there are three women with COVID vaccine who were diagnosed with this functional neurological conversion disorder, and they wanted to know if you have ever heard of this diagnosis. So
I have not.
And I think that that's the condition that it may be a new term, because that's a condition where these women have uncontrollable convulsions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their bodies just continue mm-hmm. to convulse and shake, and their muscles spasm uncontrollably.
So now with a normal vaccine, I mean, I'm kind of a vaccine dummy guy. I mean, I used to get my flu shot every year because they actually came to my job and gave it to me right there. So I didn't have to go out of my way to do it or anything like that. But there were people that, well, basically they're giving you a shot of the flu mm-hmm. of a certain whatever one, but are flu vaccines, and again, I'm kind of a dummy about this, but are they, when the flu vaccine comes out for the year, are they made by numerous companies that just throw their vaccine in the game, or is it one, or
Absolutely.
All of a sudden, we have three vaccines or so-called vaccines for COVID.
Yep, there are different ones. Different companies produce them. Okay. Yep, and they say they change the formula every year for the strain that's out there.
Sure.
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they say. Mm-hmm. So, and yes, there are multiple companies and therefore multiple different types of flu vaccines out there.
Because, I mean, I knew guys that they'd get the flu shot and they would get deathly ill.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, they never took another flu shot because they were 100%...
Why?
Sure, that gave him the flu.
Yeah. Happened to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I could, before Dan begins to really dive into what's some really, really good information that you will not hear anywhere other than GFBS or the Midwest Public Health Coalition website. Beth, I think it was Beth that made the comment about those three women.
Yes,
okay, those three women, by the way, were guests on the High Wire with Del Bigtree.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage people to go and watch, I think it was yesterday's episode of the High Wire with Del Bigtree. And he actually had on as a guest, as another guest, Jeff Hoverson, Representative Jeff Hoverson from North Dakota.
Yep.
I was congratulating him on the passage of HB 1323, which we watched here. Mm-hmm. As you know now, that's it passed both houses. And then it went to the governor's desk, and Governor Burgum vetoed it.
Yeah, veto king.
And then it went back to both houses, and they overrode his veto. So, so that's very good news. So he was on talking about that, but these women were on as well, and all three of these women were healthcare providers who took the injection, the gene therapy, in order to encourage others to take it as well.
We'll be a guinea pig.
They believed it. You know what? They believed it was a good thing because they were told it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as Dr. Stanislavski is quick to point out, there's so much of this hopping on to whatever you're told because you're trusting that the people that are telling you know what they're talking about and that they have your best interests at heart. And that, unfortunately, is no longer always the case.
Right.
It certainly is in some cases. I've got friends, close friends, who are medical professionals, and they work very hard at helping people. They want to do that. But there are also people that know how to use their minds, and they know how to think. A lot of doctors don't think. They don't think. We can ask Dr. Stanislavski, have you ever met scientists with PhDs who've spent years in the laboratory who might be able to study how a fruit fly bends its ankle, but doesn't actually know, I'm not talking about any one particular individual,
right?
But who don't know how to think rationally on a daily basis.
Right, yeah. I was kind of noticing a lot of issues with, I mean, it's science in general, these problems we're kind of bringing up here. But yeah, it's the more education you have, the more degrees you have, it's almost like the more institutionalized your mind becomes. And so it becomes harder to be like, gee, maybe pharmaceuticals aren't the answer. Maybe we should look deeper. Maybe we should have new ideas. And truly, that's where true innovation comes from.
Sure.
Is when you question the dogma that you're fed. But people that are in the system for years and years and years, they don't always think like that. In fact, most don't. So because they have successful careers, they're paid well, and they know how to do their one usually very hyper-specialized function, and that's just what they do, and they just keep ringing that bell over and over and over and over again. And in defense of doctors, too, of course, the doctor on the ground level has your best interest at heart, but they are so busy constantly that they really don't have time to sit down and mull through stuff like this.
Right. Sure.
So,
exactly. And most people don't either, which is the reason that Midwest Public Health Coalition exists. That really is the bottom line. So I'm glad that you said that, Dan, because that is why Midwest Public Health Coalition is here. We have experts and non-experts who are intelligent people who are able to look at real information, scientific information, and evaluate it and analyze whether or not it's valid, whether or not it actually fits what we see going on in reality, whether it fits the laws of physics and science as we understand them, or does it fit a narrative that someone is pushing in order to sell an idea or a product. Most people, if they're reasonable, logical people, can do that for themselves. But most people don't have time. So we've taken the time to do that to make it easy for you. And as you already said, don't trust us, but look for yourselves to see if what we're telling you is true.
Don't trust anyone. Truly, it's a much safer disposition in our brave new world to not trust anything, mm-hmm. and then look for yourself and then believe because you've convinced yourself. It's much safer.
And it doesn't take a whole lot of research to even start getting into this.
Right.
I think once you start looking some of this stuff up, you know, like I try to do whenever you're coming on the show, but you find one thing, it takes you about a minute to read, but that didn't lead you into more.
Oh, yeah.
And you start going, wow, they really are blowing smoke up my you-know-what.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't take... Just quit waiting for people to tell you what to do all the time. You're not a child.
Yep.
You know, you're a grown adult. Use your head. That's what your brain is for. Yep, it's right. Not that hard to find out a little bit about this stuff and make up your own mind.
Yep. That's right. Now, having said that, I'm going to deviate slightly from what Dr. Stanislavski said, because I think that you get to a point... we don't have time. We only live, 80, 85, 90, 100 years if we're doing well. None of us have time to become experts in everything.
Right.
So at some point, you have to establish trust mm-hmm. with someone. So I've known... Dan and I have known each other now for what? How long has it been?
7, 8 months.
7, 8 months, right. Like and that. So... hearing him speak and looking at the things that he's written and knowing his character as I do, I trust what he says a lot more than I would even a professor out at UND, mm-hmm. because I don't know necessarily what their morals are, what their ethics are, what their values are. But once you get to know somebody well enough to know, hey, this is a person. So just knowing that Dr. Stanislavski is after the truth. That he wants to know
right.
what's true. He mm-hmm. wants to know what's true.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not pushing an agenda, right? He's not trying to, he doesn't have a, well, here's my thing I want to push on the world. No, he's looking for truth. So I find him to be a credible and trustworthy source of information.
I do want to mention a couple of texts here first. Well, first off, Joe says, this is the best show I've seen. You guys are great. Matt says he saw online somewhere that abortions are up 200% for those who have been vaccinated. Can any of you guys... confirm that.
That what is up?
Abortions.
Spontaneous abortion. Like
spontaneous abortion. Yeah. He means miscarriages.
Miscarriages, okay. Maybe. Yeah, we've heard that.
Absolutely.
And I think there's maybe in future shows we can talk about this because okay. I personally need to dig into it more before mm-hmm. I say anything definitively. But there's word going around that these viruses or the shots, excuse me, are causing those type of situations, which is very unfortunate. But because we just got some of... a large document, some of Pfizer's internal documents that they were mm-hmm. sending around that might lead to them maybe knowing about that specific thing before they put it out there. But having said that, I'm not confident saying that 100%,
okay.
but the correlation seems like it sure. could be there. So
good question, by the way, Matt.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. For those of you who might be inclined to think, oh, these guys are conspiracy theorists, not that anybody in your audience would think that.
Yeah.
the point that Dan just made, I think, speaks against that concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're interested in knowing the facts and
yes.
knowing the truth before we say them. So it's not like... he's got an idea, or I've got an idea, or we even come up with a theory and say, hey, let's say that. That sounds good. We're really interested in telling the truth. And unfortunately, that is a rare commodity these days.
Right. Yeah. You can't tell me, David, in all the times you've been on the show, and now Dr. Stanislavski is a new guy on the show, but you can't tell me that all the things you have talked about, you didn't just make them up. You didn't
no.
just sit down with the rest of the people from the Midwest Public Health Coalition and say, well, you know what? Let's just say this and let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you guys talk about, it's all based on facts.
Right.
It's all based on facts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's all based on known and knowable facts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any, there's no, you know, occult information, hidden. There's no hidden information mm-hmm. here. It's not like we have special access to this knowledge
no.
that nobody else does. No, the things that we're explaining, that we're trying to convey to the general public, is available to everyone
mm-hmm.
and anyone who really wants to know.
Yep.
Some people don't want to know.
And these papers too that I'm going to talk about, you can. They're all anything to do with SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19, the shots, anything is free. all the published literature is free for mm-hmm. everyone. So you don't, there's no paywall for you to get through.
Right.
So it's all, that's where, so anyone, what I'm saying is anyone can get these things, and it's on, you can go to PubMed or Google Scholar and just put the name of the paper in there and it'll come up.
Okay. So. Now, just for example, with the stack of paper that you have got there, Dr. Yep. Stanislavski, I'm a fast reader. I had a couple of years of speed reading, mm-hmm. you know, classes and courses, but right there, what you have got, the white papers, is probably, what, maybe a couple hours worth of heavy reading?
Right,
and, yep. And that's, and if you can skim over it, it's not that much research to look into.
No, and so I went through the gory details of these studies to make sure I understood it and make sure I agreed with the conclusions that these mm-hmm. investigators came to, and I agree with all of them, but a lot of times you can just look at the abstract and then look at the conclusion.
Sure.
Right? If you just trust the system blindly, go for it. You mm-hmm. know, that's okay to do that. But I didn't do that. So I think a good segue is that these three women that had the convulsion issues, because the first paper I want to talk about, and we can talk about these briefly because we're kind of getting short on time. But the first paper is about how the spike protein can actually cause disruption in the blood-brain barrier. And so around your brain, there is what's called the blood-brain barrier, and it's made of cells that have really tight junctions so that none of the crap that's floating around your body, especially if you eat the American diet, gets mm-hmm. into your brain, yeah. right? So it's an important thing. David, you want to say something?
No. No, I was hoping that you explained the value and the importance of the blood-brain barrier, which yep. is exactly what you're doing.
Yep. And so the spike protein by itself can disrupt this. So again, the shot is having your body make this thing, and this thing can penetrate your blood-brain barrier. And once that happens, it is known to, as we'll look a little later, it's known to cause blood and vascular issues within the brain, right? And actually, there are cells that express the what's called the angiotensin-converting enzyme 2, which is the receptor for the spike protein. And there are cells in your brain that express that. So yeah, if this is occurring within someone's body, you will see a whole host of neurological symptoms and potentially even these convulsions.
So the receptor that was just referenced, that's the place where COVID-19 gets into your cells, right? Mm-hmm. It's got to have an ACE2 receptor in order for the spike protein to actually grab onto that and start the process of invading the cell.
Okay.
That's the importance yep. of that.
Yeah, I'll just read too, like, because you don't take my word for it. This is what these guys said. It says, evidence provided suggests that the SARS-CoV-2 spike proteins trigger a pro-inflammatory response on brain endothelial cells that may contribute to an altered state of blood-brain barrier function. Together, these results are the first to show the direct impact that SARS-CoV-2 spike protein could have on brain endothelial cells, thereby offering a plausible explanation for neurological consequences seen in COVID-19 patients and now as well as people taking the shot.
Wow. By the way, Matt says... what does he say here? Thanks for the honest answer, guys. I appreciate our local trust news. I think that's the first time we've been called that, and thank you very much, Matt.
That's great.
All right, what else have you got?
But before we go to the next thing, I just want people to pause for a minute if they haven't already and think about that. This spike protein that's being produced by your own cells poses a direct threat to the mechanism that God put around your brain to protect your brain. You don't want to mess with your brain.
No.
Right? I mean, you're not only do you use it to change channels on the TV, but your brain controls pretty much every function in your body. If mm-hmm. your brain stops right. sure. working, if your brain gets messed up, you're messed up.
Yeah. Well, you're brain dead.
So we don't give a lot of thought to that fatty gray matter that's sitting around you know, behind our eyeballs. But mm-hmm. but that's everything. So mm-hmm. so this report that we just kind of quickly, you know, summarized mm-hmm. is that's massive. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's the mechanistic link between what we're seeing as in terms of adverse events from these shots and COVID itself, definitely COVID itself as well, because they use the same spike protein, right?
Okay.
Exactly. Except that when you get COVID, you're okay.
Yeah.
When you get COVID, the intention wasn't, I'm going to have my own cells producing this.
Right.
But when you get the injection, the intention is, I'm going to have my own cells producing this thing.
Right. Okay. Dr. Dan, there is a question for you here sure. from Beth. Dr. Dan, do you think the PCR swabs that they were ramming up people's nasal cavities have compromised anything up in those noses?
It's if they do it incorrectly, there's a possibility that it does.
Mm-hmm.
again, I don't, there's no, you know, published studies out there on that, because no one in the scientific community is going to look at that type of thing. But is it possible? Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, because when I was basically forced to get tested, I thought it tickled more than anything, but I didn't have the one where they rammed it all the way up to the back of your brain either, you know? So, but, yeah, I was basically forced to get tested. I was told either come in and get tested or quarantine. So I went and got tested, and lo and behold, I had the common cold, you know, that's all it was. But, and I told this to David, I got in a call, had some company over, called me the following morning and said, when I went home last night, I was sick. I went in today, got tested. Next thing you know, later on that evening, and this was on a Friday, I start getting calls and texts and messaging from whoever, the county or the state or the city, whatever, but telling me I either need to quarantine or I need to come in and get, and they wouldn't leave me alone. And so, fearful of the guests that I have in the studio here, I thought it's the best thing to do. So I went and got tested. Of course, that whole weekend, I got sick. That whole weekend, I was freaking out because I thought I got COVID, and no, it was just a common cold. But kind of made me mad, but kind of made me happy at the same time, too, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They definitely are playing on people's emotions, especially with the lockdown. They lock people into their homes for months on end, and the main source of information that people are going to be getting is the tube, you know, just telling them. And it's a constant fear factory, that thing is, you know? And so people really should not be watching TV for information like that.
So do the manufacturers know which cells will produce the spike proteins? Will the body recognize these cells as abnormal and attack them? If it is a blood cell, could that cause the clotting problems? If it's in the brain, seizures, heart attacks, etc.? This is a question from Joshua.
Yes, 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 and yes, I think. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, yes. Actually, no, the first one. My apologies. They don't know exactly which cells these are going to go to, right? There's no, as far as I can tell, there's no specific cell type targeting mechanism on the lipid nanoparticle. There are lipid nanoparticle technologies that have targeting systems that they can, for example, they're made to cross the blood-brain barrier to deliver drugs into the brain specifically. As far as I know, there's nothing like that in this, so it's kind of just a random, once it enters the bloodstream, where it will end up. And so the most likely place where it will end up is the cells with that are constitute the blood vessel, right? And those are called endothelial cells, and that is a clotting problem, and that's actually one of the papers. We might as well just get there right now.
Okay.
Is that, and I'll just read the conclusion for this one here. And it's about clotting and platelets.
And who did that study?
This was people from Shanghai, a university in Shanghai did this study. So it says SARS-CoV-2 and its spike protein, so again, that's the important part for our purposes here, the spike protein directly enhanced platelet activation, such as platelet aggregation. Thereby, the spike protein enhanced thrombosis blood clot formation in wild-type mice that were given the human ACE2 receptor. So when they put the human ACE2 receptor in these mice on their platelets, it caused blood clot formation, okay? It also, the spike protein in one of the other papers is that it enhances cell signaling within the cell it enters. So if you think of a cell as like a sphere, there's things on the outside of the sphere that can talk to things on the inside of the sphere. And once it talks to the things on the inside, it has a whole host of little signaling cascades that happen. And the spike protein can initiate that. And if you throw off the balance of signaling mechanisms, that's pathology, you know, and depending on the cell type and the organ it's in, that's where the pathology is going to be. So you could have heart problems, you could have neurological problems, you know, you could have kidney problems, that type of thing. So it throws off a whole host of signaling problems, issues as well. But then SARS-CoV-2 and its spike protein directly stimulated platelets to facilitate the release of coagulation factors and the secretion of inflammatory factors and the formation of leukocyte platelet aggregates. So, in conclusion, our findings uncovered a novel function of SARS-CoV-2 on platelet activation via binding of spike to ACE2. SARS-CoV-2-induced platelet activation may participate in thrombus formation and inflammatory responses. So, again, the spike protein by itself can cause clotting.
So, can you... Yeah, right. So, in layman's terms, what's happening there is... It's causing clotting, right?
Coagulation.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And then again, those clots, I mean, they go to your head. That's why a lot of people, when they, after they take the shot, they get the headaches and nauseous and nausea, is because they might be getting blood clots that are going right to their head, right. You know? So a lot of stuff that we don't know exactly about what's going on here.
Okay. Matt has one more question, by the way, and he wants to know, doctor, one more question. Do you feel the vaccine weakens our natural immune system? Good question.
So that's kind of a double-edged sword, actually, because there is one paper I didn't bring. It's by a Dr. James Lyons Weiler, who found, he looked at the spike protein amino acid sequence. So a protein is made up of what are called amino acids. I'm sure we've all heard that term before, at least in passing. And he looked at these specific amino acid sequences, and he was lining them up to human proteins, so proteins that already exist naturally in your body. And what he found is that there is significant overlap between some amino acid sequences in the spike protein and those with your own body. And what happens in that instance is you're actually training your body to fight itself. Right. Sure. So it'll recognize its own proteins and confuse them with the spike protein and then attack you. And that's the nature of autoimmunity right there. So, I don't remember the details now of Matt's question, but
he just wants to know if it's going to lesser our natural immune system.
Right.
So and he's wondering, can we recover that back again?
I believe you can. I think, proper dieting is massively important in, your vitamin D, exercise, these type of things. By the way, there are so many studies on like vitamin D. It's like 90% of patients that had severe COVID were vitamin D deficient. Mm-hmm. Another study is like 90% of them were not active exercisers, mm-hmm. like these type of things. So if you do these things in combination, your chances of getting severe COVID are nil. And the reason is because you're strengthening and enhancing your immune system.
That's why I walk laps in the mall.
And the vitamin D deficiency in most of those cases was severe.
Right.
It wasn't just mildly deficient in vitamin D. So the if you look at the RDA for, recommended daily allowance for vitamin D, it's a fraction of what it should be.
Right.
That's based on what they found out after World War II was required to keep somebody from dying, right? That's just to keep them, the bare minimum to keep them alive. Mm-hmm. But that's not what you need when you're fighting off a virus like SARS-CoV-2. Okay, you need more than that.
So being vitamin D deficient, I mean, that's anemia, right? Or is that?
That's iron.
That's iron.
Yep.
But iron is vitamin.
Is it okay? Iron is iron.
Iron, yep. Iron is, just yeah. a...
Okay, because what I was thinking is that if you're, like anemic, but you're talking about blood clotting, then I could see how those two would have something to do with each other.
Oh, yeah, but these things all talk to each other. It's a very complex system, so.
But because I was mildly anemic when I was a kid. What vitamin do you take to get your iron count back up?
You can take iron. Yeah, you can supplement iron, definitely.
Yeah. Iron.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's Fe. Isn't it?
Right.
I was just thinking the periodic table of elements.
I mean, there might be, I don't understand that the iron metabolism system well enough to say there's it's a virtual guarantee that there are vitamins involved in these processes, but I don't know exactly which one.
Well, because if you go tanning though, it says it releases, vitamin D into your system, which helps.
It does.
Then that helps with anemia.
Yeah, your body actually produces vitamin D with sunlight.
Yeah.
If during the summer, anyway. During the summer.
Yeah, I just could have swore I was taking vitamin D pills to get my iron count back up.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe it was both vitamin D and iron deficiency at the same time.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
I'm just all kinds of wrecked.
Yeah. there's some kind of deficiency going on there.
All right, I'm out of here.
I take it, Dr. Dan, you're going to come back, aren't you?
I would love to, absolutely.
You got anything else? We got a couple of minutes here.
Well, I mean, we can continue this discussion next time because I got more papers. But again, there's papers ad infinitum about this stuff that we could keep talking about. So
I've got some questions, if I may, in the couple of minutes we have left. These are some of the questions that somebody should ask when it comes to students taking this gene therapy. Why would the schools even suggest that they take this experimental gene therapy when it's experimental?
Yeah.
Right. Why would they? In other words, so the schools are then asking, they're inviting the children, the students, to take part in a medical experiment under the guise of what? Well, protecting them?
Yeah. Well, again, drinking the Kool-Aid. And again, they know they're not at fault. They can't get in any trouble if something happens. So they're just trying to do like everybody tells them they should be doing.
So here are some questions that parents should be asking to the schools. And, you know, Red River had their vaccine event a couple of weeks ago, and Central's had theirs, I think it was last week, last Friday, a week ago today. Why is it that so many women that have these shots are having issues with menstruation now? And what about the questions about these shots causing infertility? Mm-hmm. Because that's a serious, massive question. They're seeing that happening in Europe. And I think that we're seeing it happen here as well. So what are we trying to make our children infertile by taking this gene therapy? Mm-hmm. What happened to the animal trials?
Yeah, exactly. Trials in general.
Yeah.
I mean, they did animal trials for this type of vaccine a couple of years ago, and they all got, you know, they survived the first couple of injections, and then after they were re-exposed to the pathogen in the wild, they got incredibly sick and died. So what about that? What about why does the CDC say that there's no treatment for COVID-19?
Yeah, that's a big one.
But there are actually several effective treatments. I took one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ivermectin is probably the best. I didn't get that one. I took hydroxychloroquine and zinc and an antibiotic. But there's also budesonide and ivermectin. Why aren't people talking about that? Why isn't that all over the news?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there's a reason.
Oh, sure.
What is it?
They don't want you to know.
Those are safe and effective medications that have been around for a long time. Why aren't they being promoted heavily?
They want to get the shot in your arm.
Yeah. They want to get the shot in your arm. Yeah. Why? What's VAERS? And parents should be asking this question. And why is it that VAERS says that there are over 3,000 deaths? Hey, 3,000, that's not many. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. 3,000 deaths? You know how many deaths there are from actual COVID in the United States?
I don't remember the number now. I knew it this morning,
it's close to 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the symptoms of the shot is diarrhea, right? That's one of the...
Yeah.
That's also one... Do you know more people die in the world every day from diarrhea than they do from COVID-19?
Yep.
More people die from diarrhea than from COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
More people die from something that this shot can cause as a side effect than from COVID-19.
Wow.
Tens of thousands of people it's over 100,000 people now had these severe adverse events, according to VAERS.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, they're between less than 10 to 1% actual adverse events reported to VAERS.
Right.
So if VAERS says that there are 3,000 deaths, and we say, well, if that's only 10%, what's 3,000 times 10?
Yeah, right. 10% is a high number.
So if we say at minimum there are 30,000 deaths in the U.S. caused by these these experimental gene therapies, right? If there are 30,000, that's already exceeded the number of deaths caused by COVID.
Right. Yeah.
Wait a minute. He's an idiot. There are 500,000 people die from COVID. I seen it on the television. That was from the CDC.
That's what they made me listen to.
Well, if you look at this, the way that the CDC was recording cause of death prior to 2020, that's not true. That's why they came out with a 6% number when they said, actually, if we were to evaluate based on what our previous standard of determining cause of death, only 6% of the deaths caused by COVID would be considered deaths caused by COVID. That means 94% of them were actually caused by something else, by other problems, comorbidities, chronic diseases that people have that can also cause death. And so when you bundle those things together, it's really hard to determine what the actual cause of death was. But if they use the old standard, it would only be 6% of the number that they're reporting. At the number they were reporting back then, I think that was in October when that study came out, was 9,500. So if we say 10,000 and then let's say that's doubled between then and now to 20,000, that means 30,000 deaths caused by the vaccine. is still more deaths than caused by COVID itself. And we don't know what the response of those people who took the injection, who took the shot, who took the risky experimental gene therapy, we don't know what's going to happen to them down the road, 3, 6, 9, 12 months from now. Mm-hmm. We don't know. There was a, here's an interesting thing. Here's a guy. Now that's a pretty sickly looking guy, wouldn't you say? Look at that guy.
Oh yeah. He just looks ill.
He looks ill, doesn't he? That's a 27-year-old doctor who suddenly died 3 months after having the experimental.
And was there a cause of death listed?
No, they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know. Dr. Joe Samar Henry, with his wife, Griselda Heather Morales, they're both doctors. This is a guy who was working out the day before he died.
Wow.
Have you heard of sudden infant death syndrome?
Sure.
At SIDS, right? Kids get... Mm-hmm. Of course, there's no link between SIDS and vaccines, is there? Oh.
Is there?
Maybe we should look into that at some point. There's a new term. I learned this from a medical professional just this past week. It's called sudden adult death syndrome. When adults suddenly just...
Yeah. Yep. And it's happening.
Did that cause feedback?
A little bit.
How did I manage to do that?
Yep. I'm just curious. What was the acronym for that then? SAD?
Yeah, it would be SADS.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sudden adult death syndrome.
Well,
wait a minute. What? All of a sudden, we're recognizing that there's this syndrome where adults will just die for no reason. Coincidentally, the only ones that happens to are the ones that got this gene therapy experiment shoved into their arm. Okay, yeah, just saying.
I never even thought about the fact of the SIDS being from kids getting vaccinated. Because, I mean, they get like 18 of them.
There's an incredibly strong link there.
It needs to be investigated,
but our scientific community refuses to look at it. So
yeah, there's another thing too. I saw a video of a girl who was she was really young, probably like 20 or something, and they showed her basically on her deathbed. She couldn't talk, she couldn't do anything. It was all just right after they took the shot. But of course, I mean, that's when they say, oh, that's one person out of however many. But I mean, it was heartbreaking.
Exactly.
Well, I know one thing. I've learned a lot of words today, and I've learned that I need to learn a lot of what these words mean. by the way, Matt said one more thing here. Paul, he said, you got to eat steel beams, Paul. Equals iron.
That's good.
You guys, we got you scheduled for next Tuesday. Coming Tuesday again. You're both coming back?
Absolutely.
Yes. This is going to be good. I am really looking forward to this. It's nice to be able to bring in somebody like Dr. Dan here. The guy knows his stuff.
He knows his
stuff. Along with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. Listen to these two guys. You know what? If you're watching this show, maybe you're going to watch it later on tonight, and you know people that are drinking the Kool-Aid or following everything and believing everything they hear on TV, have them watch these shows. Make your own mind up for your own self to do a little bit of research, and then you make the decision. You know, quit having people make your decisions for you.
Exactly.
And if I could add, don't listen to somebody just because he's a councilman or a mayor or anybody else who says, yeah, we got to get the vaccine. Don't do that. It's your body, folks. It's your life. It's your health. And you need to make those decisions for yourself. You need informed consent before you do any of this stuff, because these injections are, there's no question, they are killing people. Mm-hmm. And they're making a whole lot more people really, really sick. Why are we even doing it? The pandemic is over. Sorry, folks, it's over. It was over a long time ago. But if some of the things that Dr. Stanislavski has been reading are true, we're looking at a massive outbreak of sickness down the road.
Sure.
That's going to look like, and I think that they're going to call it COVID-20 or COVID-21 or something else. And it's not going to be because of anything that happened in nature. It's going to be because so many people became gain-of-function laboratories. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Dan Stanislavski, David Waterman, thank you guys for coming on the show again. And again,
thank you, John.
Are going to be back on Tuesday. And man, I got a lot of things to think about this weekend. Always great having these guys back on. And again, share this show with all your friends, okay? Special thanks going out to Do So Photography, helping you bring this awesome show to the airwaves today. Check it out, seniors, class of 2022. You might want to start booking. Bob Do So gets pretty busy. You can get personalized greeting cards. You can even use your own pictures. Just go to his website and click on greeting cards. Maybe you want some professional pics. He'll do a mini session for $75. He'll give you 3 digital retouched pictures. Now, when you order cards, he'll even give you a $25 credit towards your card order. Don't wait. Set up your photography session today. Senior class of 2022, it's not too early. Maybe your kids are playing baseball or softball or some summer sport. Talk to him about getting some pictures. Get a couple of parents involved. The cost per family is very affordable. Get professional pictures of your kids and the sport they enjoy. Do So Photography, also doing family pics, baby pics, corporate headshots, product photography, branding. You know what? If you want to look the best, contact Do So Photography, 218-230-4325, or go to dosophoto.com. Well, Monday, we are talking hockey with Coach Grant Peronica. Now, North Dakota hockey is really something, and you'll be able to find out just a little bit more. We're not talking UND here, all right? And make sure you like, share, tag, and follow us, and make sure you hit that notification bell too, all right? We all know Grand Forks is a great little place to live. Well, Grand Forks Best Source is giving it an identity again. Have yourself a great weekend.